Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5, Bobial Mornings on this Monday. Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill on the way with our forecast. Kane will keep us up to date traffic-wise out there. We'll hear from you as well at 343-0106, 343-0106, and still compiling some questions for the AL1 Republican Congressional debate on Thursday, live from the J.C. Davis Auditorium in Chickasaw. You'll be able to listen to that here at FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com. Actual debate from 6 to 7:30, and then from 7:30 to 8, like a recap of post-game show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like they do with the football games.
Yeah.
Except half as long.
Kind of recap everything that happened over the previous hour and a half. And I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to hearing from each of the candidates that want to represent our area in the House of Representatives. And I want to see them, you know, when you hear political ads, they know what works, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the political ads will sound pretty similar, but once you get them all up on the same debate stage and talking about their particular views on different issues, where they will kind of be forced, you would think, to differentiate themselves from the other contenders, I want to see what each of them thinks and how they're going to make our area of the state better for Alabama.
I'm on board for that. Yeah, we're going to try to cut through the fact that I think no doubt that among the five Republicans in this mix, they all support President Trump. So let's get beyond that and see what makes them different. If you want to go back and catch up on this, you know, we do our Get to Know the Candidates segments, and we'll do this the whole way through the primary season. You can go back and check out podcasts on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday. Go to fmtalk1065.com, click the link for podcast, or if you subscribe at iTunes, if you have an Apple product, or if you're on Android, Stitcher is that app, or you can go to Spotify or TuneIn Radio and get those podcasts. But on the midday show, 1 o'clock hour on Wednesday, John Castorani was our guest, one of the candidates. On Thursday at 1 o'clock, Wes Lambert, candidate. He was on the show. Bill Hightower on Friday in the 1 o'clock hour. So you can go hour number two of Midday Mobile Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Also coming up on this coming Wednesday, I know that Jerry Carl, Mobile County Commissioner, candidate for AL1, is going to join us as well. And hopefully we'll get a time for Chris Pringle before Thursday.
Yeah, and if you want to go back and listen to those podcasts, I've got them individually loaded, just the interviews with the candidates.
Good.
So you can also go to those, and there's a three-pack there waiting for you.
Okay, good. And I would say it's a good thing to listen to before you come out to the debate or listen on Thursday night. So check that out online or any of the other platforms where our podcasts are found, which are a lot of places. All right, a couple things here from Washington. Of course, it's impeachment TV week two. More on that from Linda Kenyon from Westwood One.
One of the high-profile witnesses will be Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union. Democratic Representative Sean Maloney tells ABC's This Week Sondland's testimony is key.
Ambassador Sondland, who at the president's instruction told the Ukrainians either go to a microphone and announce an investigation of the Bidens or there will not be military assistance. That is solicitation of a bribe.
And why is that so bad?
That is an impeachable offense listed in the Constitution.
Gordon Sondland gave a closed-door deposition to the committee and later amended his testimony.
I don't know why he decided to ultimately come clean.
Democratic Senator Chris Murphy on CNN State of the Union.
Mr. Sondland has to decide whether his primary loyalty is to America or whether his primary loyalty is to the President of the United States.
Democratic Representative Jim Himes on Fox News Sunday says this may go beyond a simple question of loyalty.
It was not lost on Ambassador Sondland what happened to the President's close associate Roger Stone for lying to Congress, to Michael Cohen for lying to Congress.
The truth, according to Republican Representative Jim Jordan, is that there was no quid pro quo, no bribery, no anything.
Like, there's all kinds of talk about things, but it didn't happen.
Jordan made his comments on CBS's Face the Nation. He was backed up by Republican Senator Ron Johnson on NBC's Meet the Press. And Johnson says this whole thing boils down to the whistleblower who brought the matter to light.
This never would have been exposed, that funding would have been restored, and our relationship with Ukraine would be far better off than it is today.
On ABC's This Week, Republican Representative Chris Stewart said that's why the American people need to hear from the whistleblower.
How in the world can you impeach the President of the United States and never hear from the person who started started that process.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tells CBS's Face the Nation she will not allow President Trump to bully the whistleblower who is protected by federal law.
I will make sure he does not intimidate the whistleblower.
Pelosi says the president has already taken great pains to intimidate others, including former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, who testified in open session on Friday.
The president is basically telling her during her testimony is that there may be consequences to you and your family and your paycheck if you don't shut up.
Senator Chris Murphy on CNN talking about tweets the president sent out while Yovanovitch was testifying.
I would prefer he not provide that type of tweet.
But Senator Ron Johnson on NBC says the tweet was not impeachable. Many are asking, how long will this go on?
It is self-evident that we have open hearings for the next week.
And then, says Speaker Pelosi on CBS, we'll have to see. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
All right, and that brings up the next part of this. Of course, yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she refuted the Republicans' claims, this is from CBS News, that President Trump has not had the opportunity for due process in the impeachment inquiry, saying the president has, quote, every opportunity to present his case, end quote. She goes on to say the president could come right before the committee and talk, speak all the truth that he wants, if he wants. This was on Face the Nation yesterday with Margaret Brennan that aired yesterday morning. Said he has every opportunity to present his case, said Pelosi. She goes on to say, but it's a really sad thing. I mean, what if the president did so much worse than even what Richard Nixon did, that at some point Richard Nixon cared about the country enough to recognize that this could not continue? House Intelligence Committee has begun holding their first open hearings of the impeachment inquiry, of course, starting last week. So she's saying that this is open to the president. So let's ask that question of you. Mm-hmm. Should President Trump, I mean, Lord knows he's not scared of it, right? I mean, of interacting like that. Would that be a good idea that the star witness here is the president himself show it up?
She also said he could answer questions in writing if he'd prefer, rather than going out in front of
Do you think the president would?
I don't think so. And Chuck Schumer, you know, kind of reiterated what Pelosi said in that Face the Nation interview. He said, if Trump doesn't agree with what he's hearing, doesn't like what he's hearing, he shouldn't tweet. He should come to the committee and testify under oath, and he should allow all those around him to come to the committee and testify under oath. What is he hiding? But the question, and you heard Schumer right there in that quote say he should have all those around him come to the committee and testify under oath. But remember who's in charge of this committee right now. That's Adam Schiff. I'm sure that, well, actually, I'm not sure. If the president showed up and said, I would like to testify in front of the committee, what would Schiff do in that instance? But beyond that, if the president has people and the president's team have people that they think will, you know, corroborate what the president has been saying, that there was no quid pro quo, will Schiff let those people in front of the committee? Is this all just grandstanding so the Democrats can say, look, we're giving him all the opportunity in the world, he's just not taking it? I think it's
And then
really,
if he comes in and takes it, doesn't he? I mean, do you think the rhetoric back and forth, who wins that one? I mean, I would say the executive branch, the president does in that case.
You would think so.
Unless you know, we'll see what the Sondland thing is on Wednesday. But okay, how about that? Do y'all think, I mean, if you're President Trump, do you go and take this? Is it a trap or is it to your benefit if you're the president? Is it just the Democrats putting up something that they think the president won't take up? Or is it something that could help the president, hurt the president? Do we, the American people, God forbid, find out the truth through all this? Should the president testify? 343-0106. 343-0106. Love to hear from you. We'll grab your calls when we get back. 343-0106. It's Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thanks, Kane. 820 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. The segment of the show brought to you by Midday Mobile. Mobile Mornings. One of those shows. Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey, doing great work at your home, your business, your storage unit. Wherever you got junk you need to go on, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Got the family showing up for the holidays. Time to get the junk out of the house. Maybe even open up a guest room. Yeah, it used to be a guest room, and then you stack the first box in there, and then you stack the second, and then you, heck, put the stuff on the bed, and then eventually you have a junk drawer in the size of a room. Hey, get that room cleaned out, stuff you don't need, and open up some space. It could be things outside your home. We've talked about that before. If you've got a you've got the full swing set with the slide, the redwood look, and the swings and the whole nine yard. Either Dalton's going to come buy it from you and put it in his backyard for his daughter, or you need to get rid of it when your children are having, you know, they're off, they're in college, it's time to get rid of the swing set. Listen, they can handle things in your house, around your house, at your office. You got junk of any sort, you need it going, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And that's all you have to do is call that number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and set an appointment time, or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Yeah, if you've got, if your kid's in college and you come home and find them swinging out there on their old swing set, just go check on them.
Yeah,
something might be up.
It's a maturity question there. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. So Nancy Pelosi offering, hey, it's open for President Trump to come testify at these impeachment hearings. Should he? Dale's in Fairhope, and he's up first. Hey, Dale.
Good morning. Go Dogs.
Morning. Go Dogs. Yeah.
I realize the impeachment process is a political, it's based on a political standpoint, but it is similar to a court or a criminal proceedings in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about, let's say I were to rob someone and get caught, you have to be charged with that crime before you move towards a proceeding. He has not been charged with any crime, high crime or misdemeanor. They're seeking a crime. So in the case he were to go and testify, or any of his buddies, he would have to do the same again in the Senate. So nobody would get on a witness stand charged of no crime at all and open up Pandora's box. She is asking him to do something that is not even required in the in a criminal proceeding in a regular court of law. So they're going to hold him to a higher standard than any other citizen of the United States. It's absurd. It's a fishing expedition, and he'd be a fool to open himself up to any kind of questions from that idiot Schiff, because it doesn't even happen in a criminal proceeding.
There we go. Dale, appreciate your call. And what Dale's saying is true if there's going to be the analog in the judicial branch. What's going on in the House is like a grand jury to decide if there's a charge. And if they offer it to the Senate, then the Senate is like a jury to decide whether to remove or not.
And if the president were to decide whether to go in front of this House Intelligence Committee and testify, or wait until the House votes for an impeachment deposition, I guess, I don't know if that's the correct terminology for it, but if they voted to send it to Senate for an actual vote, and he had the chance to either testify now in front of this House committee or later in front of the Republican-led Senate, I would think that he would wait and testify in front of the Republicans. And I know a lot of people are sure that the House will vote this through, and they will vote for impeachment.
I still think so.
I think that so much of this hinges on Wednesday and the ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland's testimony, because he is now, the Democrats have put him in a position where he is going to be their star witness. They've had now three different claims of people saying they overheard Sondland talking with Trump on the phone about pressuring Ukraine to announce an investigation into the Bidens, into this oil company. Well, they all said they heard Sondland and Trump. So this is all secondhand information until Sondland actually gets up there and says what conversations he had with the president. And if that testimony goes nowhere on Wednesday, are the Democrats really going to vote to put this into Republican hands where they can do what Schiff has been doing this last month? I love, or this last few weeks, I love the audio from Friday that you played where he was, you're not recognized.
Yeah.
You're not recognized right now. Schiff is, you know, he's running this whole thing. And if the Republicans get a chance to do that, they'll kind of be able to put their own spin on things. Do the Democrats want to put this in Republican hands if they truly feel that they have no hard evidence?
Well, if they want to put it in Republican hands as late as possible, right? They want to drag this out, I mean, trying to get it through. But you got to realize they got Thanksgiving break coming for the House, then they come back for a couple weeks, and then they're off for Christmas break.
Mm.
So if the pacing doesn't pick up, the Democrats can drag this into it's trying to get this as close to general election 2020 as possible. I mean,
right.
That's the play here. All right, let's go to the phones, and Carol is in Sims. Hey, Carol.
Hi, Carol. Hi, how are you? Just me.
Hey.
the main thing that I'm concerned about him testifying was no one is getting to ask the questions from the Republican side. They're being asked, but they're being shut down before they get the questions asked. And
They're able to cross-examine right now, but yeah, you're right. I mean, Schiff controls. I mean, it's his committee, so he controls it.
Yeah, and I agree with the gentleman before, several calls before me, probably, and that there's no crime being charged right at this time. And I think that it's a trap. I think that no one is being on the up and up as far as what this is all about. I think that it's, everything is being just shady. I just think it's shady.
There we go. Carol, appreciate the call. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. And Donnie says, all these proceedings just solidified a second term. Yay. And then he put Donald Trump Jr. in 2024.
Oh.
Donnie, you're all in on the whole family. All right, let's go to the old man in Foley. Hey, the old man.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm just going to rush this through before the IG report and Barr and Durham come out with their stuff sometime in December, because it's going to crush the Democratic Party.
If and when
they hold a vote, probably before this report comes out, I think it's going to fail.
You don't. So you're like Dalton. You don't think this makes it out of the House?
They would be stupid to put their name down voting for this.
It depends.
Anyway,
if somebody's in a purple district, I agree. If they're in a solid blue district, this is they get cheers for this.
Yeah, but there's too many. They only need 16, I believe, to stop it on the Democratic side. There was 30 that was voted in red states.
Mm-hmm.
That would be suicide, especially with the clown show that Schiff is running.
There you go. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it's a question. Now, people in red districts, we've already gone through those stories, how they're kind of going, but then, you look at the control. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, remember, Speaker Pelosi didn't want to move with this, and she was pressured from the left to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She, for a long time, was wait. And her wisdom, you could obviously disagree with her politics, but you got to respect, she's wise. She's been there a while, knows how it's played. She probably saw exactly what others are talking about here, the danger for Democrats in running through with this.
Yeah, and see, I don't even think they'll, and I'm going out on a limb here, I don't think they'll put it up for vote. I think you'll hear after these testimonies are done, after these public testimonies finish, I think Pelosi and others will come out and say, listen, the Republicans, to borrow a word, are being shady. They've completely put their own spin on this. We know that they're not going to vote to impeach him from office. We know they're not going to vote to remove him from office once this gets to Senate. So instead of putting this in their hands at all, we've laid this out in front of you, the American people. I don't think they're going to put their House members out there on a limb to vote on this at all. I think they're just going to, after these public testimonies wrap up, pull back from it and say the Republicans are going to dirty this up if we put it in Senate. We'll just leave you, the American people, with what you've seen over the last few weeks.
Interesting take there. I still disagree. I still think they voted out and sent it to the Senate, but we'll see as the weeks and months wear on. All right, coming back to the phones at 343-0106. Y'all hold on. Quick news break, and then back to the phones, 343-0106. Also, show note for today in the noon hour, Jeff Sessions, our guest, will be talking to the one-time and now candidate for U.S. Senate for Alabama. He'll join us coming up at around 12:15. Also, tomorrow, big vote in the city council for Mobile, whether to let the 13,000 in those areas that want to come into the city vote. Remember, the city council is not voting to let them in. They're voting to let those folks vote to come into the city. We'll talk about that all coming up on Midday Mobile today. But back to the phones next.
A35 Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5, coming to the phones in just 1 minute. First, let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, especially when I'm talking Black Friday deals, and Black Friday deals that start now, not after Thanksgiving. Tell me what's going on at McConnell.
Well, it's really cool, Dalton. Anybody out there in the market for a vehicle definitely needs to listen up. And it's just, it's real simple. Is, you know, every dealership's got rebates, Dalton, you know, everywhere, all the time. But these Black Friday deals that we have are already here. It's only Monday, right? And we've got Black Friday deals. And, you know, the coolest thing, Dalton, is an example. The biggest discount we've ever had off a new GMC or Buick has been 20%. Well, right now, like on the Buick Encore, we got 25%. And that's just kind of crazy. Never seen anything like it. It's way less than what, you know, the dealer actually pays for the vehicle. So I would just say, for anybody listening, you want a new Sierra with that six-function tailgate, the AT4 version, Dalton. I mean, things like 0% that come around only about 3 or 4 times a year. Everything we got is Black Friday priced. And, you know, we talk about the website, McConnellAutomotive.com. All they got to do is go there. And literally everything we have on the lot has got a Black Friday deal on it.
Thank you, Mitch.
All right, buddy. Take care, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Get your Black Friday deals right now at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, let's go to the phones, and first to Clifton in Fairhope. Hey, Clifton.
Hey, bud.
Hey.
So, I just wanted to point out that this seems to be like a political move on both the Republicans and the Democrat side. They're just, the Democrats are saying, hey, we're going to be tough on this president. The Republicans are saying, hey, we'll defend this president. But none of them are doing anything. The Democrats are at a standstill. They know they're not going to get this impeachment period into discussion. And the Republicans know that this is an easy shutdown for them, but they keep focusing on that whistleblower, saying, hey, bring him out. They know that he is protected by federal law. That's what the whole whistleblower program is for. But they keep saying, hey, bring him out, bring him out. They know they're not going to bring him out. How about you guys just leave that alone and focus on shutting down the impeachment inquiry? The whistleblower's protected. Focus on these Democrats that are just calling up all these people that aren't worth anything. I mean, they can go and filibuster in the House and make sure that, you know, they don't have to go back to committee. They can, you know, there's ways to get this ended. They're just not focusing on that. All they're focusing on is this whistleblower that they know they can't touch.
Have you seen the fundraising numbers on both sides of the aisle off this? It's been...
They're probably shooting up.
Yeah, they're shooting up. That's I'm not saying that's the only reason both sides are doing it, but it's a byproduct, right? It's a byproduct.
Oh, yeah.
It's for sure. Clifton, appreciate the call. Let's go to Griff in Theodore. Hey, Griff.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to offer an observation that really is baffling to me, because I think that anyone who can look at the whole situation with any common sense at all can see that the Democrats are just running a kangaroo court, and it's really just their campaign for 2020. But I'm amazed at how many people I know who are highly intelligent and otherwise considered good people, but they buy every bit of this hook, line, and sinker. It's just amazing to me.
And you're saying buy it from the Democrat side, that the president asked for a quid pro quo?
Well, yes, but not just that, but the entire campaign from the beginning of Trump's presidency, and actually just before, even before he was inaugurated, the whole entire campaign to discredit anything and everything that he does or doesn't do. I tell people all the time, when the primaries were going on before the previous election, and I was looking at the field of Republican candidates, there was a giant wad of them, and Trump was my absolutely last choice.
Mm-hmm.
But he got the nomination, and so I had to vote for him. And the reason that he was my last choice was because he was so rude, crude, and socially unacceptable in his manner of speaking to us down here in the South.
Right.
But it turns out that seems to be exactly what we've needed to fix things.
You needed that. You think that you needed that rough New Yorker in Washington to set things back?
We need more plain speaking, say it like it is, tell it like it is stuff in Washington, and get rid of so much of this political speak and the double talk that we hear, and the politically correct language that's used, and just say it like it is. And that's what Trump does. Now he gets pretty rough. But if you hit him, he's going to hit you back, and he's going to hit you back hard.
There you go.
And I just don't get how more people don't recognize it and see it.
Griff, I appreciate the call. You know, I think it was a story, it was Wall Street Journal this weekend, had a story about the president, how he had done business in the past. And, you know, people say, always say, and you'll hear people say it through this whole election season, I'm a business person, I want to go to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it in the past, I said, that's good, I get the spirit, and that gets people excited. At the same time, Washington is a district of rules. And that's the problem. There's a trap in that. I think it's Wall Street Journal story, but they were talking about kind of how the president had dealt with subcontractors and unions and stuff in the past, and he has that same kind of, takes that same kind of fight into Washington. And the problem is you've got these rules that are like trap after trap. It almost takes somebody that's a bureaucrat or somebody advising the president that's some sort of bureaucrat to say, well, I know that this is the thing we need to do, but you can't do it this way. You got to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these rules. And it seems like a whole room full of rat traps to walk through.
Yeah. And I think in that same article, they mentioned that the president, you know, he's not really a delegator. And you'll read all these business books and things that tell you that one of the best things you can do as a manager or as a owner of a business is to delegate,
mm-hmm.
take some things off your own plate. But the president, he seems like, and he is a guy that wants to get the deal done, whatever this deal may or may not be throughout the course of his business and political career to this point. And he wants to be the one leading the charge in all these instead of saying, all right, you're the ambassador to whatever. You go take care of this. My hands are off of it mm-hmm. at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wonder if part of that now isn't because of the career politicians that are under him. So many of them, he might feel, doesn't have his and America's best interests in mind. So, you know what? I'm going to take care of it by myself. And not knowing all the rules of the game.
Yeah, just going in, knowing negotiation style, but maybe not knowing the rules of.
And I think that makes this testimony with Sondland interesting, too, because you're looking at a guy who, he's been involved in politics for a long time, but he runs hotel chains. That's kind of how he came up. He's
right.
Also a businessman. Is he going to be as calm and composed as some of these career State Department workers that we've seen on the stand already? Once Sondland gets under some of this pressure from the lawyers, from the counsel for the Democrats, and I guess the counsel of the Republicans, although they probably won't push him as hard, will he crack under pressure and maybe say something that he shouldn't be saying? We saw Mulvaney step in it when he got in front of the cameras, and that wasn't even in a testimony in
right,
front of millions
right.
and millions of Americans. Sondland, who is not a career politician, what is he going to say on Wednesday that may or may not give the Democrats more ammunition?
We'll see. Let's go back to the phones, and Ralph is in Mobile. Hey, Ralph.
Yes, I'm calling. I hear all these callers, and everybody's saying that how their president hadn't done anything wrong, and that and I hear that, you know, Congress won't let the Republicans say anything and stuff like this here, and they're talking about the whistleblower. My thing is, you got all these witnesses that have firsthand knowledge is being blocked from coming before Congress to testify.
How are they being blocked?
If you have nothing to hide, why would you block people from coming before Congress?
Oh, you're talking about parts of the Trump administration. I would say this, that if you're in this process, like an earlier caller said, that we're not even really in a trial, right? We're in the grand jury phase. Why would you put somebody into the mix that could have words, you know, that would hurt you if it's truth or twisted words? Why would you do that strategically at this point?
Well, if you had done nothing wrong.
But you've seen Washington work.
Shouldn't hurt you.
You've seen Washington work. There's people that have done nothing wrong that get twisted up.
Well, no, if you haven't done anything wrong, you can't get tripped up. That's the thing. If you know your hands are clean, then you have nothing to worry about. And just like when it goes to the Senate, if it goes to the Senate, personally, I wouldn't even send it to him because it's going to be dead on arrival. Lindsey Graham already said that. Really, he should be thrown out having anything to do with it because it's just like a jury before you go to the box and trial or whatever. He already saying or she saying how they're going to vote on it. They've automatically kicked off a jury. Okay, so he shouldn't even have anything to do with it.
Do you think they all
get up there and cover and cover and cover and cover and cover? You know, then I hear talking about before he was elected, President Trump, that they was talking about impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
The same day that Barack Obama got inaugurated, I mean, Mitch McConnell and all of them was in a room down the street saying they're going to block everything he did. And they all they did for 8 years was block, block, block. They wouldn't bring anything he said to the floor to be voted on. They held out his Supreme Court nominees, wouldn't even give him a hearing. That's all obstruction, ain't it? We haven't forgot about that.
Did you see a similarity?
And one more thing I want to say.
Ralph.
All right. And then he said that they know they can't win, that the Republicans don't going to win. They know the Democrats know they can't win. So we can win if it was done right. But the problem is that the Electoral College picks the president. If you got ruby red states that you know going to vote your way with electoral votes, then of course you know you're going to win.
Ralph.
But if the popular vote,
what's the law, Ralph? Ralph, I've let you go for a second here. What's the rule? How do we elect presidents? It's the Electoral College. They didn't change some rule or something. That's how it's done.
Yeah, but I know that's how it's done, but that's not the way it should be done, because if one side is biased, then it's not fair process.
Wait a second, you don't think there's bias coming from the left? You don't think there's bias coming against the president?
Of course not. Of course not. No, if he had got in the office and done things the way a president should be doing, then he would have had support of Democrats.
What did he do wrong?
Bashing people, calling people out of their name, doing this, talking about this, the way Trump do business. Everybody before him didn't do business like that.
You know what, people argue that those people didn't make a change in Washington like President Trump is attempting to do.
Oh, he's making it. And look, and I'm going to tell you, just like this here, they talk about what he's done with the tax cuts and everything. Mm-hmm. I've seen where, doggone, all the rich corporations, they went from paying tax to paying zero. If you're a working person that rely on paycheck week to week,
yep,
you're not feeling in it. What's $20 extra in your paycheck, man?
It's $20 extra. I don't know what it is for each person, but those more of your money back, you don't think makes any difference?
I'm going to tell you something. You take that $20 extra, if you do get the $20 extra in your check, by the time you go buy a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk,
Hello? Hello?
I'm talking about the big bucks. I'm talking about the big bucks. Okay? The big bucks going to the ones that's really wealthy. And the poor is in the middle class. I mean, I'm not poor. I'm middle class. But $20 does not help my household.
Well, what about this? What if it's a percentage, obviously, that you're getting back in taxes? If you make more money, you get more money back. Isn't that by the nature of the percentage? Same way taxes are, what does a 25% tax mean on a $60,000 income and a $600,000 income? Obviously, it's a lot more of a reduction when you make more money, but that is the same percentage that you're getting.
You're
not going to get me to protect corporate welfare, but when you talk about earners,
because it's affected differently.
What do you mean it's affected differently? If anything, it's a progressive tax system that is less of an impact on somebody who makes less money.
Well, like I said, the rich get
like
the breaks. The middle class, they don't get a break, because I'm going to take $20 or $15 on my paycheck does not help me.
All right,
if you're sitting there saying that doggone, you glad because you got $10 more on your paycheck, it's something mentally wrong with you.
All right, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Can you send that? If it doesn't mean anything, can you send me that $20 every 2 weeks?
Well, I give the $20 to the homeless. That's
there you
what
go.
I would do.
That's a good thing.
What they can do with it. They won't be able to do much with it.
Yeah, I mean, they can depend on. If you give it through one of the organizations in town, you can really affect change. If you give it to a lot of the people, you just financed a good drunk day. All right. Be right back. Thanks, Ralph. Right, 855 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Show note coming up on Midday Mobile today. First hour, noon hour, Midday Mobile. Jeff Sessions joins us to talk about a whole bunch. And it's a treat to get him back in studio after all these years. So that's coming up in the noon hour of Midday Mobile today. And let's go to the phones. Tons of text. I'm trying to get through some of those texts. But first, phones. I mean, if you call, you go first, like Robert in Daphne. Hey, Robert.
Hi there. How are you, Sean?
Good, man. So what's your take on this?
Well, our previous caller, I think, needed a history lesson there. The first 2 years of Barack Obama, they had 60 votes in the Senate and a filibuster majority in the House.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they could have passed anything they wanted with Mitch McConnell going home for 2 years.
Yeah, remember, Obamacare was passed. Remember, folks, Obamacare was passed.
Yes.
Yep.
So they realized what happened in 2010, and Barack Obama oversaw the largest defeat of any national party in the last 50 years in 2010, when from everybody from dog catcher to the Senate was thrown out that had a D in front of their names. So you really can't say that he couldn't have done anything, because the first 2 years he could have passed anything, but he didn't, because he would have been responsible for it, and they couldn't blame Republicans for it.
Right. But he did pass. I mean, Ralph was on a roll, so I wasn't going to stop him. But
yeah.
The biggest sea change moments in federal policy in my life, he passed with Obamacare. I mean, that's one of the biggest changes.
They could have rammed through gun control. They could have rammed through health care, even worse than what Obamacare was. They could have done anything they wanted, and no one would have stopped them. They couldn't. But that's just, you know, one of the points that he has. So he says that McConnell blocked him for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, they blocked him in the House for about six of that. But they could have passed anything that he wanted, but he didn't. So, Ralph, you got to blame Barack on that one. He didn't put it through, so. The other thing is, if this goes to January, they actually put this up for a vote. They vote the articles of impeachment, and it goes to the Senate. The Senate then gets to hold the trial, as you guys said, and they'll keep all their senators there 5 days a week. Mitch McConnell will hold all the cards and can set the rules, which means he can make that drag out 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, that's tough for Warren and Booker and Harris and, you know.
Booker, all those senators that are running for office right now will be not able to campaign or do anything because McConnell can hold them there.
Yep. That's going to be.
So
I think. Well, I think they've got to be people with Senate members in Pelosi's here in the House saying, "Oh, you can't do this. We can't do this. We got to be on the campaign trail."
And again, as they alluded to, there's was 30 Democrats in red districts, and they only need 18 to really flip it, 19 or 20 to get a little bit of a majority. So only 20 of those in red districts, and a lot of them were in districts that. Trump won by over 10%. So, yeah, I don't see how you vote for that and then do it to the Senate and kill off all your Democrat candidates for president either. It makes no political sense from Pelosi's point of view.
There you go. Robert, appreciate the call. We're out of time for this hour. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. I'll see you all at noon for Midday Mobile. Jeff Sessions, our guest in the noon hour.